Great. Let's segue right from that into the message. Try to keep that enthusiasm going. Well, if you recall, let me kind of remind you where we've been. We have decided to do something different this Lent. Like actually think about what it means and what our role in it is. And if we're willing to make a commitment to take these 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Easter morning, not counting Sundays, to actually draw closer to Jesus, to hold on to him, to grab onto his ankles and not let go, to be with him every step of the way, no matter what. That's what we've decided to do. That's the journey we're on. And so today, in our scriptures, we pick up just as Jesus is beginning to come towards Jerusalem. In fact, the first scripture I'm going to use is one verse from the Gospel of Luke, which tells us this. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. That's one of those announcements that sounds grand, you know, and wonderful until you read that last part, and then it's got that law and order thing at the end. As he made his way to Jerusalem, because we know what's coming. Well, he's actually heading into Jerusalem, not for Passover this time, but for something else. Let's see. There we are. We decided to walk. Whoop. Yeah. Was that just me? There we are. Can you see yourself in here? Look, there's Nate. There's Cohen. And, of course, we put all the kids up front. I mean, what are you going to do? You could probably find yourself in there. It goes back a little ways. Not too many people. We don't want to get too big. We want to be just enough to be a community that's intimate with Jesus Christ. So somehow someone got a picture of us back then. Heading to Jerusalem, not for Passover, but for what's called the Feast of the Dedication of Lights, a celebration today we call Hanukkah. He's going into Jerusalem in the wintertime for Hanukkah. And that's the scripture story we're going to use today. Because as he comes into Jerusalem on this trip, of course the Pharisees are out to get him. They're always trying to get him. And they come up to him and say this wonderful question, which unfortunately we all seem to ask all too often, right? Jesus, why do you keep us in suspense? Tell us who you are. Show us who you are. Come on. We really want to know, right? We need to be certain, right? We need to cast out all our doubt. Prove to us who you are. That's not quite how it works. Here's a video of our scripture today. It's about 3 minutes, and it covers the territory we would cover in the Gospel of John today. Imagine yourself in this video. We're there with him.
It was winter, and the festival of the dedication of the temple was being celebrated in Jerusalem. Jesus was walking in Solomon's porch in the temple when the people gathered round him.
How long are you going to keep us in suspense? Tell us the plain truth. Are you the Messiah?
I have already told you, but you would not believe me. The deeds I do by my Father's authority speak on my behalf. But you will not believe, for you are not my sheep.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never die. No one can snatch them away from me. What my Father has given me is greater than everything, and no one can snatch them away from the Father's care. The Father and I are one.
Then the people again picked up stones to throw at him.
I have done many good deeds in your presence, which the Father gave me to do. For which one of these do you want to stone me?
We do not want to stone you because of any good deeds, but because of your blasphemy. You're only a man, but you're trying to make yourself God.
is written in your own law. That God said you are gods. We know that what the scripture says is true forever. And God called those people gods. The people to whom his message was given. As for me, the Father chose me and sent me into the world. How then can you say that I blaspheme because I said that I am the Son of God? Do not believe me then, if I am not doing the things my Father wants me to do. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, you should at least believe my deeds. In order that you may know, once and for all, that the Father is in me, and that I am in the Father.
Blasphemy!
Once more they tried to seize Jesus, but he slipped out of their hands. Jesus then went back again across the Jordan River to the place where John had been baptizing, and he stayed there. Many people came to him. John performed no miracles, they said, but everything he said about this man was true. And many people there believed in him.
So, foreshadowing the next visit to Jerusalem, it's not going to be a friendly visit, is it? It's not a friendly place anymore for the man who calls himself the Son of God. Just a man. And did you see how the Pharisees answered their own question when they called him just a man? Why do you keep us in suspense? Why don't you tell us who you really are? Jesus says, I've told you. You just don't believe. I'm not just a man. I am the Son of God. I am God incarnate. It's just that you can't believe that. You won't allow yourself to trust your heart and believe it. You don't want to face the consequences of what that would mean for your power base and your religion, your empire. You don't want to admit it. We have that same problem today. Not quite willing to give Jesus all his due because it would require things to change. The more we acknowledge who Jesus is, the more we're changed. The more we're transformed. The more we become different. The less we acknowledge who he is, the more things stay the same. So now that we've just made our first trip into Jerusalem during this circular journey that's going to take us back, the question now becomes again, are you going to hang in there? Would you have stood there when they picked up the rocks to stone Jesus? I didn't see us in the picture. Would you have defended him against the mob who was trying to kill him? I didn't see us in the picture. I think we were a lot more comfortable when we all went back to the Jordan to be with John the Baptizer. Safe ground. But see, the thing about following Jesus is, it's rarely safe ground anymore. Because what Jesus offers us is an alternative way of living in the world that goes against the values and priorities that the world proposes for us to take on. Jesus wants us to live differently than all the powers that are in the world today. Jesus wants us to show our allegiance, to be dedicated, to be loyal to a kingdom not of this world, to a heavenly kingdom, a kingdom of God. And that requires some dangerous, risky steps. It just does. Should I stay or should I go? So we're at the third Sunday in Lent. Are you still there? Can you imagine today what it's going to be like to continue walking with Jesus? Let's focus on that. I mean, to really walk with him, to be there. Because the key about the gospel is it's not just history 2,000 years ago. It's walking with Jesus today as his disciple. as he walks through the world that we live in. Are you with him then? Are you always with him? Are you willing to stay with him through it all? Do you ever ask this question, Sean? The next slide. Jesus, is there going to come a time when you're going to tell us who you really are? When we'll know for sure? Friends, the answer to that is he already has. He already has shown us who he is. He's done everything his Father willed that he would do. He's performed miracles, teaches great lessons on how to live, healed people, brought people back from the dead, faced a madding crowd who wanted to torture him and crucify him and hang him on a cross, and he did. Why do you do that? For you. You realize that's personal? That what he's done isn't just some abstract historical event in history that's personal for him, between you and him. I had a woman in our church this week talk to me, and she had an epiphany. It's epiphany, we love those, don't we? It's a new realization about God and who Jesus is. Why do you keep us in suspense? I had a new epiphany about who Jesus was. It suddenly dawned on me that when he was going to the cross, he was thinking of me. He already knew me. He's beyond time. He knew me by my name when he went to that cross and when he took those nails. For him, it's personal between you and him. He does know you. That's why he went to the cross. That's who he is. He's your Savior. And if you don't believe it coming out of my mouth or even his mouth, believe it because he did it. Why else would he do it if he isn't who he said he is? So let's take a little walk with Jesus. Let's see some slides here. Sean, take us to the... Let's look back on our little history we have with Jesus. Each of us has a personal history. Were you there on this day? Do you know what day this was? Can you tell? That's right. This is the feeding of the multitudes, the feeding of the 5,000. We're on our way home. We're still walking with him. We've just seen a miracle where Jesus took fish and loaves and fed 10,000 people. And guess what was left over? A basket for each one of us. He has a basket for each and every one of us, just for us. It's got his living bread in it, and it's got our name on it. You remember that day walking with him? What about the next one? Oh, here we are. This is when Jesus is looking right at us, saying, "Who do you say that I am?" But who do you say that I am? Other people are going to call me all different things. They're going to use words they don't even believe or words they don't even know the meaning of. But who do you say that I am? I want to know today, he says. You've been walking with me almost all your life, maybe a week even. Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? What am I in your life? Just another person we read about, a historical figure from 2,000 years ago, a religious leader who apparently went to the cross to save humanity? Or is he your personal Lord and Savior? Who do you say that I am, he asks. Remember that day? Do you know who he is? Then there's this day, the next one. Oh yeah, down by the sea, right? This is where we're heading off to the Gerasene lands. Jesus has someone to meet there. We know him as the Gerasene demoniac. He's probably the worst person in the world that we know of. So just imagine that person. The worst person in the world we know of, the most dangerous person, the most violent person, the most hateful person. There we are, heading across the sea to visit the land we've never been to. And we're scared because we know Jesus is going to put us in a risky spot. Do you remember that day? You may remember it well. It's the day we didn't stay with Jesus. It's the day we were too scared. We weren't quite there yet to trust him completely. Does that still happen in your life sometimes today? I am not going to go with Jesus and meet that terrorist and meet that dangerous person and meet that person who's committed all kinds of crimes against humanity, who is full of hate, filled with demons. So many demons, they call it legion. A legion of demons. Would you go with Jesus to meet that person today? Now that you know the story, what about if it happens to you tomorrow when you don't know the end of the story? Would you go with Jesus? Would you trust him that much? Who is he to you? How much are you willing to trust him in your life? Do you take him everywhere you go, and will you follow him no matter what? He's got a calling for you. And it's not to do the easy stuff. It's to do the hard stuff. You're going to fade away into the background, or you're going to step up front, right with Jesus, be with him, learn from him, be his disciple that day. Remember that day? Then there's this day. Remember this day? Here we are on the Sabbath. Jesus took us up to a mountain and preached to us, told us about this alternative way of life he wanted us to live, right? He said, we need to love our enemy. He said, do not judge people. Do not condemn people. Give, 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 and give some more. If someone needs a coat and you have two, that coat is his. Because it's really God's. It's not yours anyway. He told us the Beatitudes. Remember that day? About how blessed all the people who are struggling in the world are. All the ones who struggle and have hardships and suffering, pain, how blessed they are. That's what he told us. Totally against what the world tells us. Remember that day? He filled our hearts with hope. No matter what your situation is, he was there to teach you, you are blessed. You. How does he know? Because he knows you. Remember? He knows you. He's your personal Lord and Savior. He knows your name. He knew you before you were born. He was there at the beginning, teaching us that on that day. Do you remember that day? I'll never forget that day. You know, I'm still trying to live. Remember that sermon he talked? Oh, God. That's a good sermon, wasn't it? About some of the better sermons you've ever heard, right? I made a little outline of that sermon. You may have seen this. Remember this? The little card? That's an outline of that sermon. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. He just kept going and going, right? I keep it right there because one day I might want to live that way. I'm working on it. First, I just have to walk with him a bit to get the courage to do it. So remember all those days you've walked with Jesus in your life, and then there was this day. What? The day when he wanted you to participate in a miracle with him. The day that you were part of his plan for miracles in this world. To do something you can't even imagine happening. To be with him as he performed miracles around you. You remember those days? They're still happening. And yeah, maybe our faith gets a little shaky because we don't completely understand it. We don't understand how things can happen that way. How he does it. But by golly, we're stepping out. Stepping out of the safety and going with him. Because you know what? Look at that. He's calling us. And if you fall, he's got you. Remember that day? That's what we learned that day, right? When our friend Peter slipped a little bit and started to go under. Gotcha. Every day. Then there was this. Those times seemed so amazing then. That second time we walked into Jerusalem during the Passover, and everybody picked up palm leaves and laid down coats and blankets, and Jesus came in only as Jesus could do, riding a donkey. It was our King telling us that he was a servant leader, not an earthly leader, showing us how to live once again by what he did. Now, do you know who that is? Do you know that's more than just a man? A historical figure, a religious leader, the new King of Israel? Do you know that that is the Son of God? The Messiah, the Anointed One. Your personal Lord and Savior. Are you there? Let's see who we got here. We're going to name some people here. Right? There's Cohen again. Cohen's showing up everywhere. There's Nate. Look at him. There's Caroline. Look at that. There's some of us back there. I'm looking for me. I don't know. Well, sure. There's someone. Are you in there? Are you with him in just a few weeks when he walks into Jerusalem again on Palm Sunday? You going to be there? You going to know who he is by then? And then there's the next slide. That week started off so well. And then after a series of days, Jesus ends up getting arrested. But nobody really wants to execute. Nobody wants to get their hands bloody with his blood. So an offer's made to us. Remember our people. We can execute Jesus or we can execute Barabbas. We got a way out. Going to be saved. The movement will continue. And our people chose to save Barabbas. How'd you feel on that day? How'd you feel on that day? When Jesus, in front of the world, his people, God incarnate, in front of the people he, in fact, created and knew by name, and them deciding to have him executed. Because it had to be done that way. And then, remember, 2 days later, Good Friday. Good, because what Jesus did for us was the most amazing, wonderful thing that could ever be done for us. Jesus wore that crown, took on those nails, and was lifted up in glory on the cross for you. It's personal. It's like the woman said to me, it became personal. I can't look at Jesus the same way. Now I know who he is. He loves me so much that he went to that cross so that I could be among the flock. My sins forgiven. My life eternal. Me. He had my name on his heart. That was a scary, scary night, remember? But then on the morning of the Sunday Sabbath, we woke up and the women came back and said, he's gone. He's not in the tomb. He's risen. And we all ran to see it, to believe it. Do you believe it? Because if you can't believe this, there's no point believing anything else. There's no reason to believe in anything else if you can't believe this. This proves it all to be true. Crucified for us and resurrected for us so that we all would share in resurrection. So what's it like for you today? Is it real? Are you still walking with him? Is he still your daily partner wherever you go? Is he alive in your life today? Is he your personal Lord and Savior, risen in your life? Is he living in your heart? Do you know him? Who he is? Really? Personally? That's what walking with Jesus is about. That's what Lent is for. To remember the whole story and knowing it all, to embrace it into our hearts. There's one thing Jesus showed us about his Father in heaven that's really important for times like this. God brings good from every struggle in this life. Do you realize that? God brings good from every struggle in this life. Do you know that that moment that just passed was completely God's will? But of course, the next moment needs fixing too, so he'll do that. As the next moment will, and as the next moment will, and as the next moment will. But in just the moment, his presence is full and his will is done. Just in that moment. He can't keep us from not tainting the future, but he can be there to fix it every single time, no matter what. Right? There's nothing God hasn't seen or fixed or healed or put back together. No virus is new to him, right? No fear can conquer him. No emergency is too much. God brings good from every struggle in this life. Does he eliminate them? No. We're still here. As long as we're here, we got struggle. But does he bring good from every one of them? Yes. And that's why you walk with Jesus. Because it gives you that peace and joy to know that no matter what, God is good all the time. And I want that in my life.